Well, tonight, get your Bibles. You can open them up to the book of Mark chapter 6. We're going to get there eventually. It'll take us a while to get there. I'll let you know that in advance. But I believe that God is wanting to speak some encouragement and equip you with some things from His Word tonight that will help you in your life and especially in your walk with God. Tonight, the title of the message is What to Do While Waiting. As Christians, each and every one of us is going to go through a time of waiting. In fact, a lot of times when I meet new Christians, man, they've been in the Lord for, you know, just a couple of months. They're on fire. They're excited. They're passionate. They're jumping up and down. They're witnessing. They're telling everybody. They've just got this passion and this fire because there's something new and something fresh on the inside of them. But then I notice something after a little while, maybe a couple months goes by, maybe a year or two goes by, and they come up with this question, what's wrong? What did I do wrong? I must be in sin. I must be, you know, far from God. God must be mad at me for some reason because, you know, I'm going through this kind of plateau. I'm going through this waiting period. Haven't heard the voice of God in a while. Don't know what's going on. All of us are going to experience those times of waiting, those times of testing, those times where it feels like there's not really that much momentum or that much movement. And if we know what to do while waiting, it will take us to the place where we get the next God assignment, where we hear the voice of God again, where we can stir ourselves up to that passion and that excitement, knowing that God's not mad at us, knowing that God's not distant, that He's right there in your heart, that He's right there with you. Everywhere you go, He goes. He never lets go of you like we sang tonight. And so tonight I want to equip you with some of these things. Think about it. We just went through Easter weekend this past weekend. Jesus comes and shows Himself to the disciples. They've got this exciting momentum going on. And then Jesus, before He ascends into heaven, tells them to do something. What does He tell them to do? Wait. He says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Spirit has come upon you. And so here's these men and women waiting for probably 6 or 7 weeks, waiting for the promise of the Spirit. Now, I want you to go somewhere with me in your thinking for a moment. What if they didn't wait? What if they didn't stay in Jerusalem? What if they got tired of waiting and decided, you know what, I'm gonna go back up to Galilee. I'm going to go back fishing. That was kind of fun. I kind of liked it before Jesus showed up. I think I'm going to go back up there. They would have missed out on the promise of God. They would have missed out on the next great thing that God was doing in the church. They would have missed out on the power of the Holy Spirit. They would have missed out on the miraculous and on the plan of God for their lives if they would have got impatient and took off. They would have quit on the commandment of God. And so I just wonder, maybe we're missing out on what God has for us because we don't know how to wait. I know myself personally, oftentimes I am impatient. I want everything right now. Anybody else like Pastor Dan? You just want to just give it to me right now. And I don't know. I mean, we could blame that on society all we want, you know, because they've handed us fast food. We've got video on demand. You can listen to whatever you want to, whenever you want to, however you want to. I mean, you're in the car. You got your music. You got your phone. You got all this kind of stuff. I mean, we really have conditioned ourselves to be an instant generation. We can't even make oatmeal the old way anymore. We got to have instant oatmeal. You know what I'm talking about, right? And so we have this mindset that with God, everything's quick, everything's fast, everything's neatly packaged. This is just the way it is when God is wanting us to develop. Did you know that it takes time to grow a plant? It takes time to grow a tree. It takes time to build something, a house. You can't have an instant up house and have it be steady and stable. It takes time to pour foundations and dig down deep and set things in place that will be immovable and unshakable. God is building our lives. God is growing us up into something, and it takes time for God to mold us and to make us and to shape us and to form us and to dig down and get where He wants us to be. Can you say amen? Amen. God wants us to learn how to wait. Some of us maybe could identify with the preacher who was seen by his friend pacing like a caged lion across the floor. And his friend asked him and said, what's wrong? And he says, the trouble is I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. No, I can identify with that. You know, there's times where I want to see the answers to my prayers. I want to see the results right away, but I don't want to wait. And yet God is asking us to wait on Him. God's asking us to take time. God is asking us to keep our gaze set to heaven and look to Him for everything that we want, everything that we need. Think about it for a second. Many men and women of God who have gone before us have had times of waiting. King David, right? Think about King David. Here is this shepherd boy on the hills of Judea. He's anointed king over Israel. This happens in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, he doesn't actually become king over all of Israel until 2 Samuel chapter 5. See, there was a time of waiting. There was a time of development in King David's heart. He had to go from the shepherd boy of Israel to the king, the anointed one of God, who God needed him to be for the nation, for the people of Israel. That's just one example of many we can find in the Bible. We talked about the apostles waiting for the promise of the Spirit. Also, Abraham. God speaks to him there in Haran when he's 75 years old and he starts to tell him, get out of this land, go to this place. I'm going to cause you to be a great nation. I'm going to cause you to be blessed. 75 years old. 25 years later, the promised son comes along. Abraham's 100 years old. Can you imagine such a thing? See, what's going on? There is a development time. There is a process. God is watching. God is waiting. God is not in a hurry. God knows the times. God knows the seasons. God has got your number. He knows exactly where you're at, and he knows where he's leading you. So he knows where you're going if you're following him. But if you get impatient and you get off the track, you're never going to make it to where God wants to get you to. So tonight, I want to talk to you about how to wait. A couple of things that the Spirit of God gave me to share with you tonight. Anybody interested? Yes. All right, praise God. How to wait. Number one is work at what you know to do. All of these start with W. I figured since we're waiting, we should start everything with W tonight. So number one is work at what you know to do. Sometimes we think of waiting time as time to do nothing. We think that if we are waiting, it's like we're in the doctor's office, you know? You go in there, and if it's your first time there, they've got like a brick of documents for you to fill out, you know, and they ask you every health question all the way back to 1906, and they try and find out all this. And I mean, it's not just, you know, have you been sick in the past? It's like, I mean, they go through every part of the body right down to your pinky toe, and they're just asking all these questions. Sometimes it's a little bit more graphic detail than you care to actually express on a piece of paper, you know? And so you're going through this history, and then you turn that brick of documents in, and then they tell you, go put this slip of paper in the little window over there, and then they'll call you when you're ready. Maybe 5-6 hours later, you're still sitting there, right? At least that's what it feels like. But we think of waiting on God like God has us and hands us this brick of a book and says, okay, read this, and then when I'm ready for you, I'll call you. And yet God is never wanting us to have that. God speaks to us daily. God has a daily relationship with us. But there may be times where it's time for us to go to work on something while we're waiting on God. And that's not time sitting in a doctor's office looking for a magazine or playing on your phone. No, it is time where you're actively doing something with what God has given you to do. Many times you find in the Bible that there are men and women of God who have these God encounters. God these just shows up on the scene, speaks to them. There's amazing things that take place. And then there's years of time in between where God doesn't say anything at all. And yet they continue to labor. They continue to do what God has called them to do. And you find out that after they had fulfilled what God had told them to do, the next verse says, then God showed up and did something new. Case of Abraham. God says, Abraham, I want you to get out of your country and go to the place where I will show you. Abraham ventures out. He goes out, and there he is, and he starts to get into the land. He steps foot in the land. He crosses the land. He goes. He sets up his tent, and then the Lord speaks to him again. Why? Because God was waiting for Abraham to fulfill the first part of the plan. If Abraham never got up and never left, God wouldn't have spoke to him again. God was waiting for Abraham, and while Abraham was waiting for God, he was doing something. He was traveling. He was going in a direction. Work at what you know to do. Waiting time is not sleeping time. This is not time for the church when God has a directive for us. God has a command for us. God has something for us to do, for us to sit back and fall asleep. God wants us to be active. God wants us working at his plan and his will on the earth while we wait to see the results and while we wait to see what it is that God is doing. Actually, when you really look at it, waiting time is testing time. God's looking at our lives and God's saying, okay, I told them what to do. I gave them something to do. They've got some knowledge. They've got some wisdom. They've got some illumination in their heart. Now they've got the light. Now what are they going to do with it? And he allows us to go out and do some things with it. We'll talk about this a little more, but I believe that's why Jesus had the 12 with him for 3 years and why he was setting them up and saying, okay, I want you guys to go out by twos and go into this city. I want you to heal the sick and cast out demons. And he let them go and do something away from him. And then when they came back, he taught them and he brought them on to the next thing. See, we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go. I'm going to pop a verse up on the overhead for you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Look at this. To the soul who seeks him. Now, let me submit something for your consideration. I don't believe that verse is talking about two people. One that's waiting on him and one that's seeking him. Because in our definition, we would say that waiting is stopping and doing nothing else but waiting. Just kind of staring blank, looking for God. And there would be another person, the soul who seeks him, that's running around and looking and doing something. You see, I would believe that that is talking about the same person. It's the same sentence. Notice there's a comma, not a period after the him, right? It's capitalized because that's the way the Bible poetically is put together in Lamentations. But the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. See, waiting time is not sleeping time. It's not time to stop and do nothing. Waiting time is when you are actively working at what you know to do. You are seeking the Lord. You are following him. You're in church. You're finding out what the will of God is. You're opening up your Bible. You're reading. You're praying. And you're doing what you know to do with God. See, it's not always going to be the peak time, you know, where you're always up and always on the mountain. There are valleys that we have to cross. There are times of darkness. There are times, there's storms that we have to cross through. And yet God says that in those times where it seems like I'm distant, where it seems like what's going on, where it seems like confusion, or it seems like the zone of silence, he says, hold on, continue to do what you know to do. Continue to be who I've called you to be. Continue to open up your word and find out more about me. Fulfill the plan of God. Jesus told numerous stories about waiting. In the parables, you find out that there's a lot of people waiting on a lot of stuff. I mean, there's people waiting for the bridegroom. There's a servant waiting for the master to come home. There are all these people waiting. And it's interesting to note that the people who fell asleep or did nothing while waiting, or maybe didn't do the right thing while they were waiting, you know, there's one guy who buried money in the ground. He gets rebuked by the master, called wicked and lazy, because he was doing nothing with what God had given him to do. So the ones who did nothing while waiting, they all failed. But the ones who were working at what they should be working at while they were waiting were blessed. Isn't that true? That same parable, the guy that buried his money in the ground, the other ones who were out doing business, they got commended. They got more. The one who had buried his stuff in the ground, his got taken away and given to the other ones who were doing something. Why? Because God wants us actively working at what we should be doing while we're waiting on him. Let me read to you Luke chapter 12 in the Message Bible. You're still there in Mark chapter 6? See, I didn't forget. I told you to turn there. Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 38 in the Message. I'll put it up on the overhead, but I'll read it to you as well. I just like the way it said it for some reason. It says, keep your shirts on. Keep the lights on. Be like house servants waiting for their master to come back from his honeymoon, awake and ready to open the door when he arrives and knocks. Luckily, or blessed is the servant whom the master finds on watch. Now look at this. He'll put on an apron, sit them at the table, and serve them a meal, sharing his wedding feast with them. It doesn't matter what time of the night he arrives. They're awake and so blessed. Isn't that awesome? See, God may tarry. God may wait a little bit longer than we thought he should have waited. A situation in our life might look like it was past its time. Jesus, he's already dead. He's been in the grave 3 days. Jesus says, let me see the place where he lays. Here's Mary going to the gravesite to go get the body of Jesus. And there's nothing there. What's going on? There are situations that we see in the Bible where it was dead. It was done. Don't trouble the master anymore, Jairus. Your daughter's already dead. And what does Jesus say? He says, don't. Just believe. Just believe. Just hold on, Jairus. Just wait and stay in faith. Stay active with what you need to be doing. Why? Because the ones that are awake, they are so blessed. What to do while waiting? How to wait? Number one is work at what you know to do. Number two tonight is weather the storms. Weather the storms. Remember, I said everything's going to start with W. So number two is to weather the storms. Remember, we talked about this along the journey while we wait to arrive. We go through some things. Some of you in here tonight are going through some things. I get the prayer reports every day. We come in and we see the emails that come in from you guys. People are going through some stuff, if I can say it like that. We all go through troubles. We all go through trials. And there are hard times that we have to endure. But God is asking us to weather the storm. God's asking us to hold on to Him. God is asking us to stay connected and to wait on Him and to weather the storm. To plant our feet upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, so whether when the storms come and the waves rise up against us, that we're strong and we're steady in Him. God's asking us to weather the storm. And so what to do while waiting is that where to weather the storm. There's pressures and storms that come against us each and every day. Could be financial. I mean, there has been an economic storm in this nation for quite some time now. We have weathered the storms. It seems like there's people that are just getting used to the storm now. Getting used to the new rich, the new poor, all that kind of stuff. People are working it out. They're figuring it out. But there are financial situations that arise in our lives. Not enough. There was too much at one time. Now there's not enough. Oh my goodness, what's going on? Had a job, now I don't got a job. Had a job, now I got less pay for the same work or for more work. Hello. See, there's storms that come against us. Family storms that happen. Kids are going south. Husband or wife isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Neighbors are going crazy. On the job, can't handle the boss or can't handle the coworkers. Storms come up in life. In fact, Jesus, when he was talking about the parable of the sower, said that persecution would arise for the word's sake like the sun. That means that every day it's coming. You can just count on it. There are pressures, there are problems, there are things that are going to arise each and every day. But Jesus wants us to weather the storm. You're there in Mark chapter 6. Take a look at verse number 45. Jesus is with his disciples. He's just fed 5,000 men. Okay, so they're probably actually a bunch of women and children that were with him, maybe 10 to 12,000 people that Jesus has just fed. There's been a miraculous thing that's taken place where Jesus has given thanks, broke bread, handed it to the disciples, and the disciples went out and fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Amazing, miraculous thing that has taken place. So the disciples, at their hands, going from the master's hands to their hands to the people, there has been a miracle that has taken place that they have handled and that they have touched. And now Jesus is going to dismiss the crowd. And so he sends his disciples, take a look, at Mark chapter number 6, verse number 45. It says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. So there is a waiting time that the disciples are going to go through. Jesus has given them a command, and it says immediately because there's been a miracle that's just happened. There's been some things that have just taken place. And then right after it's completed, Jesus commands them to do something. Go to the other side. Go before me. I'll meet you there. And he goes and dismisses the crowd. Now, the disciples have time. There is a testing time that is coming their way. They are going to cross the sea, and Jesus is not going to be with them for a period of time. So they're being obedient, they get into the boat and they launch out and they go across. You know the story, a storm comes up, right? Waves are boisterous, wind is contrary. They're out there straining in the middle of the night. Jesus is up on the mountain praying and he looks out and he sees them about halfway across. Now take a look at verse number 48. Take a look at this. Speaking of Jesus, it says, then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. That's always kind of baffled me. I don't know about you, but for me, I've always saw that and thought, why is Jesus walking by him? I mean, it's almost rude. He told him, go to the other side, I'll meet you, you know, and now here he is walking on the water. Why didn't he just go hop in the boat? And you know the disciples cry out. They think it's a ghost, right? He's passing them by. He's walking on the water. No man could do that. It's got to be a ghost. We're seeing a vision or something like that, and they're crying out in fear. And I've always kind of gotten hung up on that. Why was Jesus going to pass him? Could it be that in this waiting time where Jesus has commanded them to go across the sea, that Jesus knew there was a storm brewing? I believe so. Why? Because Jesus is God and God knows everything. He's the one that tells the end from the beginning. So I don't think it was a surprise that a storm came up. Jesus sends them across, and Jesus has sent them out to accomplish something that he's spoken to them. I believe that Jesus told the disciples to do something that he was also empowering them to do. Go to the other side. And that if the disciples would have tapped into God, they would have been able to cross without the intervention of Jesus. But Jesus knew their hearts, and he knew their faith. Really, if you read it in the book of Matthew and actually in the book of Mark as well, you find out that the issue that Jesus brought up after all was said and done was, where's your faith? And your heart is hard because you didn't understand about the bread. So the storm that they were going through was something that God was teaching them about faith and about their hearts. Why? Because they had the capacity to go across, because Jesus had spoken to them a command to go to the other side. Are you guys with me on this? Am I making sense here? See, God tells us to do stuff, and sometimes we give up. Sometimes there's a storm brewing on the horizon, and God wants us to go to the other side. And God gives us clear direction, clear commandment. God tells us to do something, and there we are out in the middle of the lake, rowing as hard as we can with everything coming against us, and we start to question God. Why? Why is this happening? God, I thought you told me to do this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh yeah, I tried that and it didn't work out, so God must have not been in it. And I thought, well, wait a second, did God tell you to do it? Yeah. Well, is God confused? No, I think he was just doing, you know. And it's like, well, time out. Either God's confused or God knows what he's doing. I tend to believe God knows what he's doing. And so if God said it, then it's going to take faith, it's going to take effort, and you're going to need to tap into God and weather the storm. See, Jesus was going to pass them by. He was going to meet them on the other side. They had the capacity to go to the other side. But they did not have faith, and so they cried out for fear. And then Jesus steps in the boat. In the book of John, actually, it's kind of fun if you read it. Read this account in the book of John. As soon as Jesus stepped into the boat, you know what it says? It says, immediately, as soon as Jesus stepped into the boat, they were on the other side. It was almost like, here's Jesus, climbs in, and they bumped off on the shore. Why? Because as soon as you get connected with God, come on somebody, as soon as you have Jesus in the boat with you, he takes you to the other side. I think you're getting it now. Isaiah chapter 40, go ahead and turn there with me. This is such a great verse, we got to go there. Isaiah chapter 40, some of you guys know where I'm going. Isaiah chapter 40, find it in your Bible. Great verse. Great verse to memorize. Great verse to write down on a card somewhere and post it where you can see it. I'm a big fan of post-it notes. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31 says this. It says, but those who wait on the Lord. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall do something. Look at this. Shall renew their strength. See, the disciples were weary rowing. But it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. See, eagles oftentimes will lock their wings into place, and the cross current of the wind that's coming against them, strong winds and strong pressures, the eagles will get a hold of that wind, and instead of letting the wind push them back, they will use it to lift them up high into the sky, and they will cover great distances without ever flapping their wings. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. You will rise above everything. And you will be able to travel far distances when you link up with the Spirit of God. Take a look at this. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, who is it that does that? You just shouted it, right? Those that wait on the Lord. They shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. God is asking us to weather the storms. But the good news tonight is that he's not asking us to do it alone. God is asking us to tap into his power. God is asking us to tap into his provision. And God is asking us to catch a hold of the wind of the Spirit. And he will carry us to the other side where we need to go. Amen. So, what to do while waiting? How to wait? Number one is work at what you know to do. Number two is to weather the storms. And third W for tonight is to watch for God's answer. Watch for God's answer. Kind of a funny story. My wife and I, we were building out a room in our house. We're making it an office / toy room. That's not the best combination in the world. and really it's more of a toy room / small lowercase in parentheses office. So there's like a little corner with the computer and some files in it, and then the rest is toys, basically. And so we went and we got some paint and stuff like that, and I painted a chalk wall and just did some fun stuff for the kids in there and tried to do the magnet wall. It doesn't work that well with texture, so come talk to me if you're planning on doing that beforehand. I'll share what I know. And so anyways, we're building this thing out, and so we've got our color schemes and all that, and we started to pick out some furniture. I needed a new desk, and I needed to get some storage for the kids' toys. That way, when we have company over, we can shove it away, and you know, you can't see it, all that kind of stuff, and it can actually look decent. And so we picked out this furniture. We picked out some shelves and, you know, a little lateral file drawer and all that kind of stuff. And so we're waiting. We had ordered it. We paid for it. It was all good. And we're waiting. And so, you know, after about a week or so, we're thinking, okay, any day now, this stuff should come. It's, you know, 6 to 8 business days, all right, any day now. So we go through and we're waiting. And, you know, we're looking at the tracking numbers and everything, and okay, it's here, it's there, it's there. And then it says delivered. And we're like, what's going on here? What on earth? It's not delivered. We don't have it. We're still waiting. And so my wife and I start to actually kind of, you know, get a little mad. Like, what's going on with these people? This is not right, you know. Maybe we need to call them or something. Like, let's find out what's going on, you know. And so we're starting to get a little bit mad. And we never had to wait this long for furniture before. You know, starting to get that little attitude. Like, what's wrong with these people? I thought they were cool, you know. They were good, and we've used them before, and we never had any problems, and ordered other furniture. It was here within a week, and I don't know what's going on, so we're kind of getting mad. Well, one day, I had my parents come over, and they knock on the door, and so we open up the door, and the way my house is set up, I've got, you know, it's like the walkway that comes up to the front door. Garage is over here, and then I've got like a little patio area that's got some pretty tall bushes, probably about, you know, 5 or 6 foot tall bushes, and I've got my little patio area behind there. And so my wife and I, when we drive home, we never go in the front door. We just push the garage door clicker, we drive in, and we push the garage door clicker, and it shuts us in, you know, and so we go in through the garage. So some of you guys figured out what happened already. My parents show up, they come to the front door. There at the front door, you have a commanding view of the door, and if you look to your right, you'll see the patio area. My parents knock on the door, and I go and I open the door, and both of my parents are standing at the door. If this was the door, they're standing like this. And so I open the door, I'm like, hi, Mom and Dad, what's going on? And they said, did you know you got some massive boxes sitting here? And I peek around the corner, and I'm like, Jess! How long have the shelves been here? Right? And she's like, what? You know, and so we come running out there, and me and my dad are hauling all this stuff in. I mean, massive boxes. Big, massive boxes. Just sitting out on our porch for who knows how many days. Not letting you know where I live either, because some of y'all. Just playing. But we need to watch for God's answers. Don't get your eyes off of what is the prize in your life. His name is Jesus. And if God doesn't have your attention, you know, I don't talk to people when they're not listening. I know God is not rude, and therefore when we're rude to God, God is a gentleman and he'll just kind of hang back. He'll let you do your thing, and then when he's got your attention, he'll talk. And so we need to be attentive. We need to be actively watching, yes, working. We need to be weathering the storms, but never get your eyes off of what is true and right in your life. Just like we talked about that storm, you remember in Matthew, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call to me, and I'll come out to you on the water. Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat, and he starts to walk on water. Can you imagine such a thing? And here Peter is in the middle of a miracle. Only 2 men in history have ever done this, Jesus and Peter, that we know of. Here's Peter, the only one who was not God, walking on water. I mean, that's quite a crazy thing. That's amazing. So Peter's walking to Jesus on the water, and what happens? He gets his eyes off of Jesus, starts looking at the wind, starts looking at the waves, and what happens? He starts to sink, and he cries out for fear, and immediately Jesus reaches out and grabs him. What happened? Peter got his eyes off of what was important. His eyes went to the wind and went to the waves and went to other things, distractions and things that took him away from the purpose and the plan of God. But as soon as he cried out, there was Jesus lifting him up. Why? Because he got his eyes back on Jesus. You see, sometimes we see problems, we see pressures, we see trials, we see the storm. We see the enormity of what is mounting against us. We see the time and then we see the duration. Sometimes we don't see anything. So we start looking around like, where's God? What's going on here? And yet God is asking us, keep your eyes fixed on me. Keep your eyes fixed. You're in a race, and if you start looking behind you, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. But if you keep your eyes fixed on the goal, fixed on what's ahead, then God's answer will come. And you'll have it. Just like those people, those servants who were watching and waiting for the master, they were the ones that got blessed. Jesus goes on and tells another parable about a wicked steward who, while the master's away, starts to get drunk, starts to beat the other servants, and when the master comes, he beats him with many lashes, the Bible says. That's pretty harsh. The ones that fooled around a little bit, they got a little bit of lashes. That's still harsh, but the ones that were watching and were waiting were blessed. Why? Because they were waiting for the answer of the master. They were watching. They were waiting. They were awake. They were ready for the answer. When the master knocked, they were right there to open the door. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalm. You're there in Isaiah. Just turn a couple books back to the book of Psalm, chapter number 37. And if you know you're in the middle of a waiting time, I would encourage you to go home and read Psalm chapter 37 because it'll just bless you. I mean, the whole thing is just rich and full of promises and blessings. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. People are misusing you, abusing you. You feel mistreated. Feel like people have been walking on you. Come on, this is a good word for you. Psalm chapter 37, we're going to close with this tonight. Verse number 34. Says this. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, look at this, you shall see it. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Keep watching. Keep doing what you know to do, church. Keep working hard. Weather the storm. Hang on to Jesus, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. That is the promise of God, the promised blessing of God. God wants to get you into a place of blessing. God wants to get you into a place of open, wide spaces. God wants to enlarge you and expand you. God wants to bless you and use you and cause things to happen in your life. But you're never going to get to that promised land if you get your eyes off of Jesus. And you start to get distracted by other things. Start to get your eyes on the storm. Start to get your eyes on the time that it was waiting. And God, why am I waiting so long? And what's going on, God? But rather, keep doing what you know to do. Weather the storms. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Three things tonight that we learned about what to do while waiting. Number one is that we are to work at what we know to do. Number two is that we are to weather the storms. And number three is to watch for God's answer. If you got something from God tonight, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah.